Greetings and salutations. This is the Untitled Joshcast, episode number 18. My name is Josh Gershman. I am joined, as always, by my co-host and co-Josh, Josh Hammond.
Hello, everyone.
This is our weekly podcast where we discuss what's been going on in our lives and try to have a little bit of fun while doing it. To interact with the show and for updates on future episodes and other fun stuff, you can find us on both Twitter and Instagram at JoshCastPod. You can also catch us weekly at twitch.tv/UntitledJoshCast, where we stream at least once a week, usually Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. By following us there, you'll be notified whenever we go live. And as I mentioned, following us on Twitter and Instagram is also the best place for scheduling updates. If you like what you hear and would like to support the show financially, you can do so at patreon.com/UntitledJoshCast and pledge at any level you're comfortable with. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to take a moment just to talk about John Lewis, who passed a couple days ago, a legendary civil rights figure, a colleague and contemporary of Dr. King's, and he'd been in Congress representing the state of Georgia for a long time. And his loss will certainly be felt by those in Congress and certainly by those who worked with him and got to know him and of course his family. Did you know that John Lewis once went to Comic-Con?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, okay. Then you are going to love this story. So in 2013, John Lewis was the co-author of a graphic novel called March, which kind of detailed his story and his life as a young man. In 2015, he went to Comic-Con, presumably to promote this graphic novel, and he cosplayed as himself. So there are these great pictures, if you look this up, of John Lewis in 2015, where compared to John Lewis in, I think it's 1965, wearing the same like light tan trench coat and backpack that he wore when he and everyone else marched across the bridge in Selma, Alabama. And it's just like, if you put them side by side, it's amazing. And he was there, he was leading kids around. It was just like the most adorable thing. And just like, it was just amazing. Like I did not know that this had happened, but it's just like of something that happens when like a great man dies is you see all of these very deserved platitudes and all these great stories that come out. And obviously everything that he's done for the civil rights movement, everything he's done for the state of Georgia and his district, they've all been there. This one stuck out to me because this is like very firmly in our wheelhouse. I'm just like, man, What an awesome guy. What a great guy.
It is amazing. I was reading the interwebs like we do and came across a post where somebody had posted, as Obama left his swearing in, Lewis approached him with a sheet of paper and asked the new president, the first black president, to sign it. And he did. Obama wrote, "Because of you, John," Barack Obama.
I saw that too. I just like, oh, man, that was, oh, he'll be missed.
It's good stuff.
Okay. What we're going to do for today's episode is going to be a little bit different. You are listening to this, then you have probably seen the title. We are going to recast a whole bunch of Johnny Depp movies. Now, this is done entirely for fun and for our entertainment and hopefully for your entertainment. It's not done out of any malice or anything like that. Yes, there's all kinds of drama and craziness happening in the real world of Johnny Depp right now. We're not going to talk about that. This came out, it was like a couple weeks ago that Margot Robbie was announced that she was going to be the star of a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Potentially a franchise, potentially several movies, but at least one. And that got us thinking about, now again, it's not like she's playing Captain Jane Sparrow, where she's not replacing Johnny Depp. It's just a new series that's going to feature Margot Robbie. And this is something we've talked about before. We talked about it when we did City Slickers, about the what might have been, the who could have been, yeah, that played other kinds of roles.
And it came up when we talked about recasting Back to the Future if they were to remake it.
Yes.
Who we would pick.
So this is like a fun exercise to think about. And so what we did for this, and you know, I think this, I'm really excited about this. What we did was we took 16 of Johnny Depp's most popular movies from the beginning of his career all the way up to now, essentially.
Excluding Pirates of the Caribbean because of Margot Robbie.
Of course, we excluded that franchise and we split it up. And so we're going to go through it and just kind of hypothesize of what could have been. There was only one rule for this, which was that the person who we chose had to be alive at the time of the filming. So like we couldn't say that John Wayne could have been in any of his movies because he wasn't alive, although that would have been amazing.
I broke the rule on one of them.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Okay.
Because this is the first time we're doing this. So I'll give you one mulligan on that one.
It's worth it, I promise.
Okay, I believe you.
Okay.
There were no rules otherwise. So it could have been an actor of any age, any gender at the time of that the movie came out. Like it could have just replaced it with anybody. Some of these came easy to me and others were more difficult.
Yeah.
I spent like a lot of time watching Johnny Depp movie trailers, which is like a whole thing in my head now.
Me too.
Okay. All right, this is going to be fun. All right, let's get started.
All right.
So we're going to start essentially at the beginning with 21 Jump Street, which again is a TV show, not necessarily a movie, but you get the idea. 21 Jump Street came out. It was out in the 1987 to 1991. Johnny Depp plays the role of Officer Tom Hansen. Co-starred Holly Robinson Pete and Richard Grieco famously. Here's the plot summary. For all these summaries, I took them right from IMDb, which is, of course, the source for movie news. The cases of an undercover police unit composed of young-looking officers specializing in youth crime. Youth crime is just like the most 80s thing I've ever heard. My pick for this is Matt Dillon, because he like always plays characters who are like 10 years younger than he actually is. And I feel like even at the time of this filming, he would have been, I don't know, maybe similar to Johnny Depp's age, but Matt Dillon never ages. He always looks like he could be like 17 or 47.
That's true.
So I feel like he could have fit in with that kind of a crowd. He could have pulled off like the young undercover detective role.
I could see that. So we started this thing off for me with the most impossible task of literally all time, where you sent me this list and you were like, here's group B. Your number one choice to replace is Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, good luck.
I was like, okay, great. This is going to be awesome. So the year was 1990. The role of Edward Scissorhands was Edward Scissorhands. It co-starred Winona Ryder, Diane Wiest.
I think it's Wiest.
Wiest. And Anthony Michael Hall. Like, not a nerdy Michael Anthony Hall. Like, he was the bully. The plot summary is an artificial man who was incompletely constructed and has scissors for hands leads a solitary life. Then one day a suburban lady meets him and introduces him to the world. That is the worst plot summary of Edward Scissorhands of all time.
But I also just want to point out that it was directed by Tim Burton, who, spoiler alert, will come up a lot in this conversation.
I'm pretty sure that they are going steady at this point. My list alone has 3 Tim Burton movies on it. I think I only did 10 movies. It has nothing to do with Johnny Depp, but I feel like it should be pointed out that the artificial man in this movie was created by Vincent Price.
Yes.
And I think amazing. I could go on about this movie forever, so I'm just not going to. We'll just do an Edward Scissorhands rewatch at some point. I recast this as Jim Carrey.
And interesting.
It's because at the time, Jim Carrey, I think, hadn't really taken off yet, but I don't know when Ace Ventura came out. I didn't look. But Jim Carrey is the ultimate method actor, and I have little doubt that he could have played Edward the way that he became Andy Kaufman in Man on the Moon. And there's no way that Tim would have let him go full The Mask or Dumb and Dumber on this film. He's too serious of a director. So I feel like it likely could have become Jim Carrey's crown jewel in his resume if he had done it.
Yeah, that would have been really interesting. Ace Ventura, I'm trying to Google things quickly. Ace Ventura came out in 1994.
So Jim Carrey had really only done things like Earth Girls Are Easy at that point.
Wow. Huh. Yeah. So, okay. A couple of things just to clarify. Neither you or I know who's on each other's list. So I think that will be really interesting. to see if we have any crossover. And also, oh wait, what was the second thing? I had it. It was in my brain a second ago. Nope, lost it.
Cool.
Not okay. Neither you or I know who's on each other's list. Okay, I'm moving on. I don't know where that thought went. It'll come back to
That's
me.
That's fair.
Okay, the next movie I'm on my list is Benny and June from 1993. Johnny Depp plays the role of Sam, directed by Jeremiah Chechik, easy for me to say, co-starring Mary Stuart Masterson and Aidan Quinn as the title roles of, well, in this case, June and Benny, but you get the idea. Plot summary is as follows. A mentally ill young woman finds love in an eccentric man who models himself after Buster Keaton. Now, immediately, I was like, this is like the most 80s thing ever. I feel like everything was dealt with some kind of mental illness and a romance subplot. Like, I remember, what was the name of that TV show with Corky? I can't remember the name of that show.
It was called Life Goes On.
Thank you. That, like, this just seemed to come up all over the a lot in the late 80s and early 90s about everybody. Like, not, you know what I mean? This kind of a story seemed to come up a lot.
And every character and so, was played by Juliette Lewis.
Yes. For this movie, I was trying to think of somebody who would be young, naturally, to like fill out the Johnny Depp role, but they could also be like quirky and aloof and also do physical comedy. Cause that's like Johnny Depp is doing all the Buster Keaton routines in this. So my choice is a young Keanu Reeves.
Huh.
I think he could have done it.
I wouldn't have thought of that, but that does make sense. I was really sad when I looked at the way that the list ran down that this was on your list. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Benny and June. Little known fact, I was introduced to Benny and June really early in life because Buster Keaton is actually from... technically not my hometown, but just outside my hometown of Iola, Kansas. So he was born in Pickway, which is a tiny, like seven people live their town outside of Iola. But because of that, the director came to our school and like pointed out how Buster Keaton had directly influenced like this role. And they pointed out all of the techniques that Johnny Depp went through to learn the role. So I love this film. It's a great,
that's really cool.
It's a great film. Speaking of mental illness, the very next film on my list is What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which in two different parts of the film kind of takes on, you know, different aspects of mental illness with both, oh my God, I've lost his name. Leonardo DiCaprio's character, which I think is Arnie, and the mother of the film who hasn't left the house in 7 years. She has like some sort of an eating problem. It's been a while since I've seen this film. I just know that she is very overweight and doesn't have all of her things under control because she uses eating as a coping skill, essentially. The film came out in 1993. Johnny Depp plays Gilbert Grape. The director is Lassie Hellstrom. I think I said that right. It co-stars Leonardo DiCaprio and a woman that I mentioned earlier in every mental illness film, Juliette Lewis. The plot summary is a young man in a small Midwest town struggles to care for his mentally disabled younger brother and morbidly obese mother while attempting to pursue his own happiness. I recast this as Tom Hanks.
Oh.
I think Hanks has the nerdy but charming aspect that Depp has in this film, and he's just calm enough that he wouldn't have overshadowed Leonardo's amazing role that he should have won the Oscar for. Got beat out by oh my God, the fugitive, not Harrison Ford.
Tommy Lee Jones?
Yes. He got beat out by Tommy Lee Jones playing Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive.
you can't beat that, to be fair.
I mean, I don't know.
Tommy Lee Jones is great.
He is
great. This is a Tommy Lee Jones appreciation podcast now.
He's not great. Mad at Tommy Lee Jones. I'm just saying, for the longest time, I didn't know that Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't actually mentally handicapped because of this movie.
Okay.
I thought that they had actually gotten a mentally handicapped individual to play this character. And then he went on to be Leonardo DiCaprio. I think Tom Hanks proved in Forrest Gump that he can play the narrator of a story really well, which this film needs. And honestly, if it were up to me, I would put Tom Hanks in every movie that was ever created. He's Tom Hanks. He's the greatest.
Yeah, I think that's the right idea. That's the right choice.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. Okay, my next movie, quite a departure, is Ed Wood. Ed Wood came out in 1994. Johnny Depp plays the role of Ed Wood, directed by Tim Burton. It's going to keep coming up. Co-starring Bela Lugosi and Sarah Jessica Parker, among others. Plot summary is as follows. Ambitious but troubled movie director Edward D. Wood Jr. tries his best to fulfill his dreams despite his lack of talent. I remember being very confused when this movie came out because it was in black and white. I'm like, what is this thing that's happening? Who I would want to play Ed Wood instead of Johnny Depp is Bill Murray, who is actually in this movie. But I think if you take Bill Murray from Scrooged and you make him like a little more serious and a little less slapsticky, I think he could have pulled off like the movie director vibes that Ed Wood was giving off, that Johnny Depp was doing in this movie. Plus, Bill Murray is just great.
Little known fact, Scrooged is my second favorite Christmas movie of all time.
It's a great movie.
Fantastic. The only thing better than it is The Muppet Christmas Carol.
It's good. Very good. Very good.
Okay, next film. Donnie Brasco. I've discovered that all of my films have the actual title of the role that Johnny Depp is playing in them.
Yeah, that's going to come up a lot in this. I'm just going to sidetrack us for real quick. So of the 16 movies that we're going to discuss, two, three, four. In five of them, he is the title character of them. He's the name of the movie.
That's funny.
It happens a lot with Johnny Depp.
This came out in 1997. He plays Donnie Brasco. This was directed by Mike Newell. My initial thought was to put Al Pacino in this role, but Al Pacino is in this movie.
He is.
Along with Michael Madsen. The plot summary is an FBI undercover agent infiltrates the mob and finds himself identifying more with the mafia life at the expense of his regular one. I struggled a lot with this one because I was like, who the hell do I put in this role that's not Johnny Depp? And I had already used somebody else that I would have put in this role because apparently Johnny Depp plays this character a lot. And I thought a lot about it, and I was like, fuck, what the fuck do I do here? Because there's like the Italian mafia thing, so they have to be able to play that Italian vibe. So like, I thought at first about putting John Leguizamo in here, and I was like, no, that wouldn't work. There's no way he would be able to play that role. And oh my God, I can't think of his name. I'll think of it later in the podcast and blurt it out. It'll be amazing for everybody. But like, due to, you know, their background, the role wouldn't have worked. They wouldn't have been able to convincingly play this role. I ended up settling on Edward Norton.
Okay.
And it's because he's edgy and charming and he can play a tough guy. But with just enough aggression to be an asshole, but not be unlikable. He's method, so he could have fit into the role. The accent wouldn't have bothered him. And really, I thought a lot about The Usual Suspects, and I was like, okay, I feel like this is something that could work here.
I like it. Edward Norton could have fit in that. He definitely can play the darker, unassumingly mean, well, not mean, but like unassuming character like that.
It was definitely a hard one.
Okay. All right. The next movie is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas from 1998. Johnny Depp plays the role of Raoul Duke. This movie was directed by Terry Gilliam, no stranger to just absolutely batshit movies, co-starring Benicio del Toro. And I assume other people, but it's really just the two of them. Plot summary goes as follows. An oddball journalist and his psychopathic lawyer travel to Las Vegas for a series of psychedelic escapades. This is, of course, based on the book by Hunter S. Thompson. I watched this trailer. Man, what a trip. This one I had a hard time with because like Johnny Depp, to his credit, just disappears into a lot of these roles, and it's very hard to imagine other people doing them. And really the only person I could come up with was Robin Williams, who could do like the crazy batshit stuff, but also like the instantly turn on the serious. And I feel like he and Terry Gilliam would have gotten up to a lot of trouble together. And that would have been just like a wild time.
2 points. One, Alicia Del Toro was the person I was trying to think of in the last one that wouldn't, oh, okay, that wouldn't have worked. So thank you for bringing that up. Two, we're supposed to go in chronological order, but I'm going to skip around now because of what you just said. So I'm going to go ahead and skip forward to 2001. And Johnny Depp did a film called Finding Neverland. The director was Mark Forster. It stars Depp, Kate Winslet, Julia Christie. In the film, Johnny Depp is playing James Matthew Barry, known as J.M. Barry, the author of Peter Pan, if you didn't pick up on that by finding Neverland. The plot summary that IMDb gives is literally one line.
Oh, good.
The story of Sir J.M. Barrie's friendship with the family who inspired him to create Peter Pan.
You know, sometimes simplicity works.
It does.
That's all I'm saying.
It does. I also cast Robin Williams in this.
Okay.
Depp plays Barry with a quirky and interesting personality that seemingly combines Robin Williams films, What Dreams May Come and Patch Adams in a way. Robin has proved that he can be serious when he needs to, Good Will Hunting, but there's enough hook in this to work. I think the only thing that could have been problematic is Robin Williams' body type might have been hard. Johnny Depp actually lost weight for this role because apparently JM was a pretty skinny man. But Robin can transform into any role he wants to play literally ever. Like, I think that he is one of the greatest actors of our time.
I like it. And I agree. Okay. Next up is Chocolat from the year 2000. This is the movie out of all of these that I have definitely seen the most. I have seen this movie many, many times. Depp plays the role of Rue. The movie was directed by Lasse Hallström, who we heard about earlier, who directed What's Eating Gilbert Grape. So that was a cool little callback. Co-starring Juliette Binoche, Judi Dench, and Alfred Molina, among other French people. Plot summary is as follows. A woman and her daughter open a chocolate shop in a small French village that shakes up the rigid morality of the community. Now, I like this movie a lot. There's a lot of time spent in the kitchen, which I'm all about. The leads, the Juliette Binoche and her daughter, they're just adorable in this movie. It's great. Judi Dench plays the cranky old lady. It's fantastic. I think this might surprise you. So in this movie, Johnny Depp plays like a pirate rebel, not rebel, a pirate, like gypsy kind of a character. My choice is Paul Rudd.
Huh.
Because I think he could have, like, again, Paul Rudd can do literally anything. And I think if you just like put him on a random barge in a village, like in a river coming down, you know, middle of nowhere, France, I think he could have done this.
I mean,
I would just like Paul Rudd to be everything. So like, that's what I'm going with, Paul Rudd.
He is our favorite son as a Kansas City boy. Like, we rep Paul Rudd hard. It is crazy to me that Paul Rudd is 127 years old and looks like he's still in the movie Clueless. It makes no sense. Paul Rudd does not age.
It really doesn't.
I have a great Paul Rudd royal story for another podcast. He has one of my favorite like memories linked to the Kansas City Royals.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that.
I don't know where I am because I went out of order, which is why we don't normally do that. So that's great. All right. Sleepy Hollow. We're back to 1999. He plays Ichabod Crane, This is also directed by Tim Burton.
Shocker.
It co-stars Christina Ricci, Miranda Richardson, and Dumbledore.
Future Dumbledore, Michael Gambon himself, yes.
The summary is Ichabod Crane is sent to Sleepy Hollow to investigate the decapitations of three people, with the culprit being the legendary ghost, the Headless Horseman. There's a scene in the movie where they say, "You're a long ways from New York," and having lived in New York and gone to Sleepy Hollow, that's not true. They're not that far apart. Maybe by horse and carriage.
Yes, but that's if you had to travel by horseback, it would have taken you a little while.
I guess that's true. I guess they didn't just take the L train. So the thing that I noticed, I'm going to go with why before I go with who.
Okay.
Throughout the film, Johnny Depp's English accent, the way that he adapted, it's fine. But really the way that he emphasizes the whole time is with dramatic pauses. And when you have dramatic pauses, you might as well just replace Johnny Depp with the king of dramatic pauses, William Shatner.
Yep. I knew exactly where you were going.
I would love to see William Shatner play this film.
That would be amazing. I love it. I love it. Okay. Next up, keeping with the creepy vibes, is From Hell from 2001. Johnny Depp plays the role of Inspector Frederick Aberlin, directed by Albert and Alan Hughes, co-starring Heather Graham, Ian Holm, and Hagrid, Robbie Coltrane. The Harry Potter references continue. Plot summary is as follows. In Victoria-era London, a troubled clairvoyant police detective investigates the murders of Jack the Ripper. Now, this is, of course, based off the graphic novel by Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell, which is fantastic. If you are a fan of comic art and are a fan of the Jack the Ripper story, definitely pick up the graphic novel. I don't know why. You know that I don't like anything scary. But I have a thing about like the Jack the Ripper lore. It's just something that has always interested me. There was this video game back in the late 90s, maybe, that was called Ripper. And it was like this futuristic detective story, but it was all live action video. So like everybody was like filmed live. And then the choices that you made that changed what scenes happened on the screen. And like, every time you played the game, the killer was someone else. It was like always one of three people. And when you bought it, it came with like this giant dictionary guide to help you figure out. It was just, amazing. All that is to say, Jude Law, I think, would have been a good inspector in this movie. One, he's already English, so he doesn't have to do an accent. He could fit in any era of English films. Like he's in the Sherlock Holmes movies, he fits right in. Like he can put on like that era clothing and that attire and just like disappear into that costume and that role. I feel like he would have been good at that. And like also, he could have done like the very troubled aspects of Johnny Depp's character too, where he just like smokes opium and like totally spaces out. I think he could have pulled it off.
I love Jude Law. What was the amazing movie that Jude Law was in with Julia Roberts and Natalie Portman? Closer?
I mean, that is the name of a movie with Jude Law and Natalie Portman and also Clive Owen.
Yes, yes. It's the same film.
I don't think I like it as much as you do, but that is the movie you're talking about.
I think I liked it more for Natalie Portman than anything else. I thought her role was great in that.
You just want it. She plays a stripper in that movie.
That wasn't why.
No judgment.
But I like Natalie Portman. I think she's funny.
Okay.
So of all of the films on this list, this one gave me the most trouble.
Oh, okay.
The title of this film is Blow. It came out in 2001. The role is George Jung.
I think it's Young.
Young? June?
I didn't Google it enough to... let's say it's George Young.
We're going to call him George.
Great.
I'm also going to botch the director's name. Ted Demme,
yeah.
Cool, I didn't botch his name. Co-stars Penelope Cruz, who is amazing, and Paul Rubens. Plot summary. The story of George... last name, along with, oh my God, there's so many words in this. I'm going to botch.
I got you. It's Medellin. You got to like roll the E-L, Medellin.
Medellin cartel.
There you go.
Thank you. Headed by Pablo Escobar, established the American cocaine market in the 1970s in the United States. That was a lot. I recast this not because I think that he would be good at the role, not because I think he fits the role. I put Bruce Willis in this.
Okay.
Here's why. I can see that. Johnny Depp brought a real calm and cool to this character. Bruce Willis isn't going to do that. We've seen Die Hard. However, I really just placed him here because I want to see what it would be like to put John McClane and Pee-wee Herman in the same movie.
Oh, man. Now I want to see that movie.
Oh, my God. It would have been amazing.
Also, now I kind of want to do this exercise for Bruce Willis. Maybe we'll do that one next.
I'm into that.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that choice for this movie. I was watching the trailer for this, too. And like the trailer tells you the whole movie in 2 minutes.
Literally,
it was very strange.
I've never seen this movie and I feel like I've seen the whole movie now.
Very strange. Okay. Next on my list is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. 2005, Johnny Depp plays the role of Willy Wonka, directed by Tim Burton, co-starring Freddie Highmore and Helena Bonham Carter. The plot summary is as follows. A young boy wins a tour through the most magnificent chocolate factory in the world, led by the world's most unusual candy maker. Now, this was the easiest one for me on the list because, one, it's a movie that never should have been made. And two, the answer is Russell Brand. I saw him, Russell Brand, that is. He was in New York shooting Arthur. And I came, like, I don't remember where I was, but I came across them shooting something outside, like on location in New York. And they weren't filming because he was like being hassled by press and stuff and paparazzi. And people were just like shouting like, hey, Willy Wonka. Hey, like they were, that's what they were shouting at him. And this was, that came out several years after this, but still like A, don't make this movie, but B, make it with Russell Brand. That's my answer.
And C, if Russell Brand isn't available, make it with old-ass Gene Wilder.
Oh, I was going to say, see if Russell Brand isn't available. See, answer A, don't make this movie.
Matt, I would have loved to have seen Tim Burton make this movie with the original cast, just like in their 80s. Like,
well, I can't. I feel
it's
like
it's possible that like Gene Wilder had died already.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had. I'm going to Google that real quick. Gene Wilder.
Would you have put Russell Brand in Blazing Saddles?
Gene Wilder died in 2016, so he would have been alive when they made this film.
I thought Gene Wilder had died like 10 years earlier than that. Oh, he went into hiding, didn't he? He definitely retreated from public life. That's right.
Would I put Russell Brand in Blazing Saddles? 100%.
It would have been amazing.
I would have, you know what? I would have put him in like the Gang of Outlaws. Like he just like, he's so good at just like being ridiculous, but also being in the background ridiculous. I feel like just make him one of the outlaws, make him like a random henchman would have been great.
I think we're going to do a podcast down the line later where we take all of Mel Brooks' movies and recast them with current living.
That'd be
comedians.
Fun.
That would be fun. Speaking of Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter, my next film is Alice in Wonderland. It came out in 2010, a year in which Gene Wilder is still alive. The role that Johnny Depp played was the Mad Hatter. The plot summary is bad acid trip. That's not what IMDb says, but it is 19-year-old Alice returns to the magical world of her childhood adventure, where she reunites with her old friends and learns her true destiny to end the Red Queen's reign of terror. Again,
nothing like destiny.
A film Tim Burton probably shouldn't have made. It was pretty. I'll give it that. I could only think of one person that could play the Mad Hatter, and that is Nicolas Cage.
Oh my God, I need this in my life right now.
There are few people quirkier than Nick Cage. There are few characters more eccentric than the Mad Hatter. It's a match made in heaven. Can you imagine Tim Burton one-liners with Nicolas Cage's iconic, frantically blurted out, delivered hand gestures.
I need it.
So good.
Now, I love Nicolas Cage. I think he's great and also ridiculous. But man, that would have been something else. Oh boy. Okay. This is the last one for me, and then we'll hit you for the one more. Mine is Black Mass from 2015. Johnny Depp plays the role of the legendary gangster Whitey Bulger, directed by Scott Cooper, co-starring Joel Edgerton and Benedict Cumberbatch. The plot summary: the true story of Whitey Bulger, the brother of state senator and the most infamous violent criminal in the history of South Boston, who became an FBI informant to take down a mafia family invading his turf. So I really wanted to say Bill Murray again for this, but I didn't. I feel like I already used Bill Murray, so I didn't want to use him again. My answer for this is Jim Broadbent. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but for anyone that isn't, he played Harold Zidler in Moulin Rouge. That's probably like the role he's most well known for. I was thinking of just like older white guys that could pull off like this, like charming gangster life, but also be like super creepy and violent. Obviously Moulin Rouge is not that, but I like Jim Broadbent a lot. He's a really like fantastic actor. And I think it would have been really interesting for him. He also can do like, he's no stranger to accents. I think like he could just do anything. So that's my answer.
Fun fact about Moulin Rouge. Blow in 2001, John Leguizamo was actually cast for the role that Johnny Depp played, but he had to turn it down because he had already started production of Moulin Rouge.
I did not know that. That's very interesting. Fascinating.
All right. So in this next one, which is my last one, I broke two rules. You said there was only one rule. There's technically two rules to this podcast. Rule one is the person has to be alive. The character I picked was definitely not alive.
Okay.
Rule two is fuck J.K. Rowling.
I stand by that.
So the next one on the list was the Fantastic Beasts series. I threw it out and we put in Crybaby. Crybaby came in 1990. He played the role of Crybaby, like he does. It was directed by the world's most interesting director, the only person on this list that could possibly be more weird than Tim Burton, John Waters.
Love him.
It co-stars Iggy Pop, which, fuck yeah, it does, and a young Ricky Lake, like pre-talk show Ricky Lake. Plot summary. Jesus Christ, this movie is a fuck show. In the 1950s Baltimore, a bad boy with a heart of gold wins the love of a good girl whose boyfriend sets out for revenge. Whew. All right. Who's the dead person that I cast in this? James Dean.
Huh. Okay.
I would literally give anything in the world to see James Dean take on teenage angst, leather jackets, born to be bad, overacting, and the weird shit that John Waters would have put him in. It would have been the most interesting thing in the world. He is the king of cool. And I want to see how he would have played quirky. And I think that John Waters could have brought the best out in him.
Speaking of Ricky Lake and Baltimore, I love that this movie has to exist like in the same cinematic universe as Hairspray. Right. So like somewhere in Baltimore, Hairspray is happening. And on the other side of town, Crybaby is happening. Yes. Like at the same time. I love it.
I'm going to put an asterisk on this. If I had to pick a living actor to do this, it would have been John Travolta.
Oh, that would have been interesting. Okay. I could see that. John Travolta would have been 36 in 1990. So like maybe 35, 34 by the time they filmed this. Could have been interesting.
What is he, like everybody, 75 now?
He's born in 1954. So you can, whatever 2020 minus 1954 is.
Jesus.
76? 66?
I had no idea. I guess that's what happens when you play a high schooler when you're in your 30s.
Yeah. Well, but I think that's a good point because I feel like he's still, everybody in the 80s and 90s looked way younger than they did. So even a John Travolta at 36 clearly could have played, you know, could have fit right into the high school role that Johnny Depp was
That's
doing.
That's fair. Remember Cruel Intentions?
I do.
Everybody in that movie was 40.
That's very true. Okay. This was a lot of fun. If you are out there in podcast land and you have any suggestions for us or other Johnny Depp movies you would like to recast, let us know. You can drop us a line on Instagram or Twitter or you know, smoke signals or really just anywhere. Let us know. And if we get any interesting ones or anything we want to revise, we'll certainly bring that back in future episodes. But this was a lot of fun. We might do Bruce Willis next, only because, like, since you were mentioning that earlier, there's only, like, Bruce Willis has, like, one lane. And so, like, now I'm really interested of, like, how we would do that. There was, like, this really funny Twitter conversation happening. This is going back months. But it's, like, replace the cast of a movie with Muppets except for one person. That's a really fun. I don't want to do that because, like, that's, I feel like that's been done. But Bruce Willis only has the one lane. It just makes me think about
that. That's an amazing thread. I am scared to tell this story just on the weird off chance that Bruce Willis listens to the podcast and kills me in my sleep. But I saw Bruce Willis in Misery on Broadway.
Huh.
And it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow. I didn't know that that had been adapted into a play.
Yeah. It starred the aunt from Roseanne and Bruce Willis.
Laurie Metcalf.
Yes, and she was amazing.
Broadway star, Laurie Metcalf.
Amazing. Like, it was only bearable because of her, but Bruce Willis was the most over actor I've ever seen in my life.
Huh. Apparently this came out in 2015. I had no idea.
It was not good.
Wait a second. William Goldman of the Princess Bride fame adapted the book into the play. That's amazing. Huh. Wow. Okay. Well, this has been super fun. We will be back with more fun recast movie things in the future. If you have any other suggestions of other actors or actresses or anything that you think we should take on in this fashion, certainly let us know. If you have enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a nice rating or review on Apple Podcasts and or follow on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you happen to listen. Those things would really help us out. Don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, both of which are at JoshCastPod, for all the updates you can ask for about the show. And once again, if you would like to support this podcast financially, you can do so at patreon.com/untitledJoshCast. This show is written and hosted by me, Josh Gershman, and Josh Hammond. It is edited by me, and it is produced by Ryland James. The podcast's intro music is Gemini by Alki, and the podcast's outro music is Cautious by Amorosa. Both appear on the Untitled Joshcast with permission from the artists. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Untitled Joshcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. I got to be cautious.